this for all eventualities and hope it goes well.
You're with Country Life on RNZ National, and today we're in the snow on Mount Ruapehu at Whakapapa Ski Field, where we're meeting a very important couple.
Hello, Echo. Hey, buddy. Ready to come and do some work? Oh, boy.
This is Echo. He is a two-year-old border collie. He's a tricolour border collie, so he's not the classic just black and white. He's got lovely brown on him as well. He's a working line border collie, so he's actually come from parents that both come from working lines in New Zealand.
Good boy.
He's a real character. He's a lot of fun to work with. He's very intelligent and quick to learn new things. He is a pleasure to work with. I'm Lisa Yagi and I live in Rorimu, which is very near the beautiful and big Mount Ruapehu. I'm an avalanche dog handler for Landsar Dogs New Zealand, and my base is this beautiful area.
Echo started coming up here as a puppy to get used to the people and the lifts.
Hello! Just going to sneak through here. Yay!
Good boy.
When we first went to get in the gondola, he, you know, going from that stationary surface to the moving surface was actually quite a bit of a, wow, what's going on here? And first few times he sort of hesitated and just took a bit of cajoling and treats and things, and suddenly he's wandering in. And, you know, fast forward another month or two and it's like it's nothing, you know. It's just
he's looking at
him.
The view now.
Yeah, he does. He likes to check out the view, don't you, Echo? He's particularly interested when it's actually snow beneath and he can watch the skiers go past. Yeah, I think that's his herding instinct that kicks in, and he sort of goes, oh, that's interesting. All right, we can hop out. Here we go. Boy. Hi, how are you?
How are you doing today, guys?
Good, thank you. Got the good tunes going on. Yeah, so this is where it's at the moment. This is where the snow is.
Echo is causing a little bit of a fuss
stir.
Already, yeah. A bit of a stir.
Do you want to say hello? You can say hello. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Good boy. Boy, this is Echo.
She's doing the avalanche training.
Yeah, he's an avalanche dog. Nicely.
Avalanche dog.
Nicely. Education is a really big part of what I see us doing as avalanche dog teams. I think, you know, first and foremost, we want to go out there and bring someone's loved one back to their family. But we're really training for a situation we hope will never happen. But education is where we can really get ahead of the game and not end up being the ambulance at the bottom of the hill. You'd be surprised how many people will say to me, what does that dog do up here? And I tell them he's an avalanche dog. And they said, do we have avalanches up here? Yeah, it's really surprising because you sort of go, yes, absolutely. Where there's snow and there's slopes, loading and stability issues, there are avalanches.
What's happening now? He's having a quick roll.
He's having a bit of a roll in the snow.
Since 1998, 27 people have been killed by avalanches in New Zealand. It's a risk if you're going off-piste or into the backcountry.
People still get themselves into situations where they're not wearing an avalanche transceiver and they need rescuing, and a dog is 100% your best option. It will take a group of searches such a long time to probe an area to find you. A dog is going to be the thing that finds you because they have these amazing noses, 220 million scent receptors versus our 5 million. They smell the world in 3D. Come on, Echo, come. I'll just bring you in here. Come on in.
We're coming into the
Ski Patrol hut, that's right.
And this is the base, is it, for when you're out training?
Yes, that's right. So it's really important for them to have somewhere where they can sort of go away and not be stimulated. If a dog's sort of getting everything they need all the time, all the attention they want, then when you actually need to use them, they might not be as motivated. So part of what he does is actually spending some time quietly in his crate. Yeah, so Echo up.
Good boy. And Echo just leapt up, and you're popping him into the top layer.
Yeah.
He's even got his name on the side of the kennel there.
It does, yeah.
And Rudy.
And Rudy's down below. Rudy's the bottom bunk, Echo's the top bunk.
While Echo's in his crate, Lisa heads out to set up the training area. What makes a good avalanche dog?
A good avalanche dog will be a dog that has high drive, so a real desire to play and work or hunt. Quite often it's a dog from working lines like a hunting breed or a herding breed. Those tend to be the best sort of dogs, but there's also plenty of crosses out there that work really well. Golden Retrievers, Labradors. Labradors are particularly common in New Zealand. Border Collies, as Echo is, German Shepherds, and anything with that high play drive and desire to work with humans.
Are the skills of an avalanche dog, are they different from any other sort of search and rescue dog?
On the whole, the skills that the dog needs is that ability to search and seek out human scent and recognise it, obviously. So for search dogs that are looking for humans, they are all going to be looking for human scent. So in that sense, yes, very similar. And the way that they use that scent or locate that scent, that can be a little bit different. For instance, tracking dogs are looking for ground scent, whereas an ear scenting dog, which is what Echo essentially is, will be looking for airborne scent. They're using the same sense, which is their sense of smell, but they might be using it in a slightly different way or at different points in the search. For instance, a tracking dog, for wilderness purposes, would be using ground scent first, and then as they maybe get closer to their target, they would possibly use ear scent more. So what we're going to do is set up a search exercise for Echo. So we're essentially going to simulate an avalanche scenario. So we're going to use this area of snow out here that's sort of, 20 by 20 metres. And, I mean, we use much bigger areas for training as well, but you usually sort of set one objective and work with that. So today I'm just going to do a smallish area and just bury, what should we do, maybe two articles. And our objective is simply going to be to work around the distraction that's happening here, because we've got tons of people just below us holidaying and having a great old time in the snow. And
so that's quite useful.
Yes, yes, because we want him to be able to work in any sort of circumstances that we might throw at him. And, it's very conceivable that when we arrive at an avalanche site, if we're not the first team that arrive, that it could already be swarming with people. So we need to make sure that he can work around those sorts of distractions as well.
And Andy, you're going to be doing the burying of the items of clothing.
Yep, I'm the chief article burier. It's actually good to have people other than me even as well for Echo, because he recognises my scent.
At this point, we should say that you and Lisa are husband and wife.
Yes.
Yep, that's correct.
And what's your role on the mountain, Andy?
General Manager, Safety and Environmental Risk. So I look after the ski patrol teams and the medical centres on Whakapapa and Tūroa.
Right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you one big article. So an article's like a hat or a glove or a beanie, and in this case a big fleecy jersey and a
lost property.
Some lost property items. So everyone, this is where your stuff ends up.
Quite useful,
when you
really,
lose it. Yeah. Usually just the single gloves and hats and things. Andy, if you could just bury those no more than 20 centimetres deep and leave it reasonably loose, because the aim is to work around distractions, and that's our goal for today.
Okay.
Cool.
No worries.
Avalanche dogs have found people buried under several metres of snow, and they can pick up a scent from half a kilometre away.
You do have to get to an avalanche site as quickly as possible. Like, time is totally the thing that's against you when you're trying to retrieve someone alive. You have sort of up to 15 minutes, really, from time of burial, where you've got something like a 90% chance of finding that person alive, and that's assuming that they haven't encountered any other major trauma or something that's threatening their life. You know, if you're heading towards 30 minutes, your chances go down to 30% chance survival, and that's really scary. Those aren't good odds. So an avalanche dog is the superior way to be found should you not be wearing an avalanche transceiver. You've got to have one if you're out in the backcountry. If you don't, you really shouldn't be out there.
Give us an idea of how quick a dog is in rescuing compared to humans.
Right, well, there's some pretty staggering stats, really. So, for instance, a dog could search an area of, say, like a hectare in about 30 minutes and cover that area and work out whether there is or isn't someone buried there. That would take 20 people about 4 hours, which is why ski areas in New Zealand are making it, you know, a really important thing to have a dog ready to go.
Yeah. And Echo is ready to go.
There you go. Just some work. Everything I'm doing tells him that he's about to go to work. You know, putting the pack on. I've got my gear on. He's got his harness on. And he's already, you can see, very pretty excited. Hey, puppy. Hey, going to do some work for me? For him, this is just a big giant game.
It's all about the game for Echo.
It's all about a game for him. So he doesn't care who's buried under there, or he just wants to find the human scent that's under the snow. So we shape that right from the beginning in small steps, and eventually get to a point where they're finding a full human being buried under the snow. So when they first start off, you get them really keen on a tug toy. So that's their game, and will eventually be the reward. And you just get that drive happening. So you want a dog with lots of drive and play drive to keep going all day long. So you would hide the toy first, or just run away with the toy, pop it down and get the dog to come and run after it and get it. And then you eventually would cover that with a little bit of snow until the dog's finding the toy quite deep down in the snow. And then from there, you start associating finding other things with human scent on them, like shoes, gloves, hats, goggles. You sort of do that same process again, just substituting in that toy. We use like a marker word, yes. I use yes with Echo, so he knows the instant he finds that thing, he's going to get a reward game, which is that tug game. Wait. Poor boy, so he's poised and ready to go. Ready to work? Ready? Search. Yeah, so I'm watching for any changes in behaviour. You know, he may do a head flick when he alerts that he's gone into that scent cone. We're working up into the wind if we can. We're waiting for the dog to walk into that or run into that scent cone, and then they follow that in to the source. Usually we'll sort of zigzag across it. So this is quite a contaminated area as well, so he's going to have to work a little bit harder. Echo, come. Good boy. Good.
He's digging.
Good. Good. Good boy. So he digs to indicate that there's something there. Pinpoint exactly where the source of that scent's coming from. Come on, where is it? Good boy, yep, I'll grab that shovel. Over here, he's actually dug and shown us exactly where the shoe is buried, and now we're just having a giant game of tug because that's what it's all about. Echo, hey buddy, good boy, good boy. Ready? Obviously in a real situation now we'd have our shovel team come along because we've confirmed that there is in fact someone underneath the snow, and they would come and dig out the subject and hopefully find them alive. After we've found them, which is their best chance if they're not wearing a avalanche transceiver, it's then up to the shovel and dig team to come along and really get in there and dig that person out as quickly as possible. Part of the prerequisites to being an avalanche dog team is that you live within 30 minutes of the likely areas where there could be an avalanche, so in this case the ski area. So for us, we live within that 30 minutes. The alternative is to be very close to a helicopter base, but you know, a helicopter flight, it may be fast, but you might still end up being outside that sort of critical time of 15 to 30 minutes. We just want to get there as fast as possible. So ideally, in the winter, Echo and I spend a lot of time up here. We have, here at Whakapapa, we have another avalanche dog team. We have Rudy and his handler, Blair, and they work up here as ski patrol, which is tends to be the more common way to do the avalanche dog team.
So Rudy's always up here while...
He's always, pretty much always here when Blair's here, and certainly when the avalanche risk is higher after new snow or wind loading events or heavy rain or something that could impact the stability of the snow. But ideally we have someone with a dog here at all times.
What are some of the risks to the dog when they're out there, either training or actually in the real situation?
Well, obviously when you respond to an avalanche, there is still the possibility that there may be what we call hang fire, so more avalanche terrain that may release. And so that's always something we're thinking about. Is it safe for us to be there? So obviously if it's not safe for the dog, it's not safe for us, and vice versa. So those are considerations we make. You also want to make sure you're not fatiguing the dog over and above what they're capable of. An avalanche dog can work sort of consistently for 15 to 20 minutes and then they're going to get tired. So in an ideal world, you'd have multiple avalanche dog teams working a site and also being prepared to swap in and out to make sure that those dogs don't get overtired. Also making sure they're hydrated. Using your sniffer all day or for a couple of hours at a time is definitely going to dehydrate you, so we need to keep the dogs hydrated. Another risk for dogs is working around ski edges and snowboard edges. They're obviously very sharp, so the dogs can get injured easily. So we really mitigate that risk by doing one of two things, either not skiing with the dogs, so carrying them around on our shoulders if we're skiing from A to B, or we would train them to ski between our legs. So Echo has a command, I use the word middle, and he would come around behind me and pop between my legs, and I'd grab the back of his harness and just ski with him between my legs in a wedge, as you would when you were learning to ski.
He's slightly lifted off the ground.
He's supported. He definitely still runs on his own, but I would just sort of give him that little bit of support and sort of manoeuvre him a little bit, so to speak. He's actually very good. I can actually say left and right, and he'll sort of go with me.
And making sure that your skis are quite wide apart.
Absolutely. I've got to make sure my skis are nowhere near his precious tendons. So, that's very important. It definitely takes a bit of practice, but it's surprising how much they enjoy it. So,
how much do you love Echo?
Oh, I was trying to describe this to someone the other day, and I almost felt guilty saying it's like he's like another child for me. But he really is. He's just this amazing teammate that makes me smile every day. He's just so intelligent, so biddable, and he doesn't talk back. He's just lovely. And, you know, I think for us in avalanche and wilderness search, we often have these dogs, and as much as they're working dogs, they're also our family members. Like, you'd be hard-pressed to just treat them like a working dog all the time. We usually have quite strong connections with our dogs as well. You know, we have to think about how we behave and what we expose them to and whether it's appropriate to get them out at particular times. But in general, I think all of us would probably admit, well, just about all of us would admit to, loving them like a pet.
Oh, you're such a clever dog. Good boy.
Good boy.
Neat. Good.
Lisa Yagi and Echo, the avalanche dog on Mount Ruapehu. This winter is Echo's first full season working in search and rescue in the snow. Avalanche dog handlers say they can be close to 100% certain no one's been buried if their dog's been over an avalanche site. But they reiterate you really need to be wearing a transceiver if you're heading out to the backcountry. Take a look at the shots of Lisa with Echo on her shoulders on the Country Life webpage.